welcome in to Vern's postgame show.
God, a home run! A three-run homer for Salvador Perez!
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Furnier.
All right, good evening. Yankees take the finale in a very entertaining night of baseball. Let's not goof around here. 11 innings, two playoff-bound teams. Sure, it's disappointing that the boys don't come out on the winning end. But an entertaining night of baseball. Let's talk about it. So much to dissect, so much to preview as we look ahead to now the final 15 games of this season. Royals certainly do appear as if they'll be playing baseball coming up in 3 weeks from tonight. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. 913-586-7965. That's our text line number as well. Royals lose in 11. 4-3, the final score, as they drop the series to the Yankees and will wait until next year to finally snap that skid at the new Yankee Stadium. Royals are yet to take a series from the Pinstripers. You got to go all the way back to 2014. Now, you can go wherever you want to go tonight as far as this game and this season and this team is concerned, but I just want to know how you've been feeling, how you're handling this, what this was like for you. This game tonight, this riptide that comes to its end. Right, Royals are done. I made so much of this 20-game stretch against teams heading to the postseason. 20 straight games, a schedule that I thought was so stout, so difficult, so strong, that I thought it had the strength that if the Royals deviated from what got them here, that this riptide would take them under, could sink their postseason hopes. And yet, it didn't do anything near that. It tried. It took Vinny. It led this team to a 7-game losing streak. But they were undeterred as they once again saddle up their horses. Reagans and Lugo, Waka, Urseg, Salvi and Bobby, and the big names on this team lead the Royals to a 9-11 record in that 20-game riptide. I was hoping for a 500 stretch. I said I'd be happy with an 8-win stretch. They split the difference and now make their way to Pittsburgh with a 9-11 record in the riptide. Now, I know I've heard from plenty of you that have called up this season and said, hey, Vern, haven't talked to you since 2015. Haven't listened to the show since 2017. Now, for as much as that hurts when you tell me that, I understand why. It's been a while since the team's been in it. And they most certainly are in it. So I want to know what it's been like for you, how you're handling being back in it, riding the ups and downs, even though I told you a few nights ago, once the Royals hit that 8-win mark in this riptide, I told you it's house money. From my perspective, this team is playing with house money from here on out. There's no more tests. There's no more gauntlets. There's nothing else I need to see in the regular season. I got my feet up, and I can't wait to watch what Bobby, Salvi, these starters, Lucas Urseg, and the rest do come October. But I know I'm different. I'm not watching it the same way. I'm sure some of you are very frustrated with this 4-3 11-inning loss. Me? No. No, I enjoyed this baseball game. Disappointed in the way that the Royals lost it. But the way that the Royals lost this game, in my opinion, wasn't because of what makes them great. Sure, They're one of the best teams, if not the best team in Major League Baseball when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position. And the reason why they lost this game tonight was their inability to come through with runners in scoring position. The Royals go a combined 0 for 11 with runners in scoring position. But you knew that was going to be the issue since the first inning of this game. When the Royals had bases loaded and only one out in the first inning, and Freddie Fermin goes down swinging, and Michael Massey grounds out to end the threat, you knew that was going to come back and bite them. And it did. But there was just too many good things that happened tonight. Salvi, defensively at first. Bobby with that beautiful tag at second. Tommy Pham with that gorgeous throw from right field, not to mention a three-hit night. Lucas Erceg, two scoreless innings of relief. Chris Bubich pitched fine in those two additional frames. And then what do you say about Cole Ragans? His 30th start sees him pick up his 19th quality start. So phone lines are open for you. I want to know how you're holding up. What this has been like for you. How you're handling being back in the pennant chase. Let's go to the phone lines. 913-586-7965. We'll start off with Tom in Overland Park. Tom, you're hitting leadoff tonight, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Vern. How I'm feeling is I feel good. I mean, I think the boys, I think it just affirmed that, like, we can compete in October and we shouldn't be scared to compete in October. But one question I had for you is really just in the 11th inning, I get giving in the 10th inning Bobby his bat with a runner on second, but why in the 11th not play a little small ball? That's all I had. I just wanted to say hello and thanks for the call, Vern.
Appreciate the phone call. On the road, you don't normally play for one run because as you saw in the 10th inning, as Dairon Blanco single-handedly made sure that the Royals took advantage of that automatic base runner in extra innings. So great job by Dairon Blanco in the 10th. But as you saw in the bottom of the 10th inning, it's not difficult, or it's certainly difficult. I don't want to say it's not difficult, but they're professionals. When there's a man in scoring position, and if he doesn't score, you lose the game, professionals are able to get that guy in. Now, it wasn't pretty, right? Oswaldo Cabrera didn't lay down the best sacrifice bunt. No, it was a pop-up. But it got the job done. It advanced the runner and Austin Wells with the sac fly. So you're playing for multiple runs when you're the road team in extra innings. That's why you don't play small ball. Tom, appreciate the phone call. Let's stay in Overland Park. Talk with Ryan. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead, Ryan.
Vern, what's going on, my man? How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing well, man. Honestly, man, I'm really pumped up right now. I know that we're going to be a playoff team. I know we dropped one tonight, but did you see the Yankees? They were celebrating as if they just won the AL. You know what I mean? Like, they just beat us. It's a regular season game for them. Man, I'm pumped. We're playing well. Our pitching's looking great. I'm excited for this, man. I called earlier a few weeks back when Vinny went down, and I asked you if you thought this was going to have implications on playoffs, and you agreed, but here we are, man. We're going to make the playoffs, and this team has rallied. I am pumped. I cannot wait for October baseball.
Oh, love to hear it. Appreciate the phone call, Ryan. Following the loss tonight, the Royals are now 4.5 games back of Cleveland for first place in the division. 4.5 back of Cleveland for the division title. 4.5 games up on Detroit as the Royals hope to secure a playoff spot. 15 games to go. You're 4.5 up on the Detroit Tigers. Tigers come to town starting on Monday for a 3-game series. Now, I'm not worried about Detroit. I'm just telling you that they're on their way. And the crosshairs, well, the crosshairs are on the Minnesota Twins, if you're talking to the Detroit Tigers. But nonetheless, the cushion that protects that playoff spot is down to 4.5 games. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7 96.5, that's the phone number. We're having a nice little run in Overland Park. Let's stay there. Let's talk with Tommy in OP. You're next up on the postgame show. Tommy, go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, my question was, what are your thoughts on after Judge stole that second base? And I'm sorry if I missed this question come up already, but after Judge stole that second base, what I thought we should have walked Jazz. That both those runs don't mean a thing. Why don't we load the bases and give us a force out at any base?
Yeah, certainly a possibility. Thanks for the phone call. I believe the response would be, now, for those that missed the bottom of the 11th inning, it's a tie game. Aaron Judge advances to second base on defensive indifference. So it's second and third, one out. Jazz Chisholm, the left-handed hitting third baseman, facing the left-handed throwing Chris Bubich. Yeah, first base was open. They could have walked Chisholm. That would have brought Giancarlo Stanton to the dish. So the question is what's more likely? Getting a ground ball double play off of the bat of Giancarlo Stanton or Bubich striking out Jazz Chisholm, getting Chisholm to pop out, fly out to shallow left, center, right? It's my assumption that Bubich and the coaching staff believe that the lefty-on-lefty matchup was more likely to procure an out than facing Stanton would have turned into a double play. Now, Chisholm, credit to him, right? That pitch from Chris Bubich with runners on second and third and only one out, you know, that 2-1 slider from Chris Bubich was a well-executed pitch. It's down, away, off the plate, but credit to Chisholm, who goes with it, shoots it to the opposite field. Bobby Witt Jr. Dives, stabs, grabs the 95-mile-per-hour line drive off of the bat of Chisholm and had to throw it quick to the dish. He threw it quick to the dish, but the throw was wide and man, it had to be perfect if they were going to get birdie at the dish. So, yeah, you could have walked Jazz Chisholm, but then it's, you know, a similar situation with a guy that hits the ball harder in Stanton and a guy that has the righty-lefty matchup advantage in Giancarlo Stanton. Hope that makes sense, Tommy. If not, if I did a poor job explaining it, let me know on the text line. Text line's always open for you, 913-586-7965. Let's go to Spartan Tony, who's in Kearney. Tony, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Hey, I'm still excited, man. I was really looking forward to this game. I love pitching and defense. I really liked how our batters worked that pitch count up on this guy. They weren't swinging at stuff out of the zone early. I do have a question. It's not a judgmental question. It's more for me to understand the game a little more. I know we had Renfro available. Was this a matchup thing of why he may not have came in for Garcia or somebody like that? And I'll listen off there.
Yeah, I would imagine. I'm going to have to look. I would imagine, yeah, likely because of defensive purposes, right? You already had Garrett Hampson playing first. So if you lift Michael Garcia, yeah, I guess Renfro could have gone to first, right? And then Garcia takes, or excuse me, then Hampson takes Garcia's spot at third. Yeah, possibly. Now, of course, Tony talking about the top of the 11th inning. Freddie Fermin starts the inning on second base, as that is the extra inning rule. You get a man on second, and that was Freddie Fermin in the 11th, facing former Royal right-hander Luke Weaver. Michael Massey flies out to left, doesn't get the job done, doesn't advance Freddie Fermin. Paul DeJong then swings through 97 to strike out, and Michael Garcia comes to the plate and Falls behind 0-2, fouls off a few, and then ultimately swings through a changeup, ending the threat. Yeah, now listen, I don't have any info as far as Renfro and, you know, if that hamstring started barking on him. Well, no reason to believe it. Yeah, he went 1-for-4 yesterday with a single. Yeah, Renfro, I guess, would have been a possibility. Again, I'm, you know, thinking defensively. He's played first base, or he's at least worked in there at first base. I believe he's made one appearance this year at first base. So, yeah, I think Renfro would have been a possibility. Thanks for the phone call, Tony. Now, I don't have the definitive answer as to why Renfro wasn't brought in, but I know as I'm watching, as I'm managing along with the game, I wasn't screaming for Renfro in that spot. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Let's go to Nick in Kansas City. Nick, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead. Hey, Nick, you got me? I think we lost Nick.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on, man? Where you been?
My fault. I'm here now.
All right, good. What do you got for us?
How about back-to-back nights of just straight dogs out there as starters, just absolutely killing it against, you know, Stanton, Soto, even Stanton, you know, in there, even though he's been struggling. But, yeah, coming out back-to-back games, killing it. Sucks we lost Wade tonight. But overall, it was a great game by both teams. We definitely need to figure out, you know, the runner and scoring position situation. But I'm not worried. I'm not worried about it at all.
They're really good at it.
But other than that, tonight, I mean, it was an epic game. You know, taking the Yankees and probably going to be the MVP. Sadly, not Witt, but Judge over there taking that squad into the 10th inning on, you know, 9/11 and whatnot.
I appreciate the phone call. Nick, thanks for the phone call. Nick sounded like he was bothered that he had to make that phone call. You didn't have to make the phone call. appreciate it. Nice to hear from you. No, hitting with runners in scoring position has not been an issue. I don't think we need to present it as if it is an issue. Royals have the third highest OPS in all of Major League Baseball when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position. They're one of only four teams with an OPS north of 800 in those prime situations. Their .286 batting average with runners in scoring position is still the best in baseball. Yeah, again, guys, we're 147 games into this season. You know this team. I know this team. All y'all on hold, all y'all on the text line, you know the 2024 Kansas City Royals. I really don't think we're learning anything new over the final 15. Like, oh, they can play with good teams? Oh, wow, look at how they hung. Now you've known that. They dominated Cleveland. You saw what they just did to the Twins, right? You remember what they did to the first place Milwaukee Brewers? Again, they just went through 20 straight playoff teams and went 9-11. Nothing to hang your head about there, especially when your overall record is now 13 games above 500. No, these final 15 games to me are about two things: staying healthy and building confidence. The performance that Cole Reagans gave you tonight, 6 innings of 2-run baseball, that's how you build confidence. Now, look at what your big dogs, as you called them, look at what your big dogs did in this 20-game stretch, this riptide, as I called it. Reagans, Waka, and Lugo. They made 12 starts in this 20-game stretch. And they put up an ERA of 3.03. 76 strikeouts in 71 innings for these three dogs. Waka, Lugo, and Cole Reagans. Now look at what Salvi did over the course of the Riptide. played in all 20 games, had a 306 batting average. Salvi drove in 16 runs in this 20-game stretch with an OPS of 920. Now, that's how you build confidence. Because when Michael Massey and Freddie Fermin, when MJ Melendez and Kyle Isbell get to October, they know that Lugo, Waka, Reagans, and Salvi are going to be ready to go. That their big dogs will lead the way. That's how you build up the whole clubhouse's confidence down the stretch. Now, sure, you want MJ and Massey, you want Mikel and the guys, you want them to have a nice finish to the season so that they have confidence in themselves, sure. But whether they do or not, they can find it in the postseason with one swing. But there's nothing that gives a team more confidence than having your stars consistently perform like stars. And that's what Cole Reagans did again tonight. Reagans reaches 300 career strikeouts as a Kansas City Royal, and he does so faster than any pitcher in franchise history. 7 punchouts tonight gives Reagans a round number of, 300 punchouts in his Royals career. Let's go back to the phone calls. Alyssa in Kansas City, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey there. Hey, I'm totally with you. Everything you said, Reagan, Waka, Lugo, 303. Fucking amazing. But we've got to get our bullpen somewhere. And wild theories, I'm going to put it out there. You're going to think I'm nuts. We got to get Brady Singer out there in the bullpen. He's not doing it. Let him be the hero in the last two. We need more people. First, they can't do it all. Maybe not this season, next season. I'm just out here to throw salt. Just be crazy.
Hey, no, it's not crazy. Because, Alyssa, I think Brady Singer will be in the bullpen coming up in 3 weeks for that wild card series. You know, it's only 3 games. I appreciate the phone call. It's only a 3-game series, and that's what it certainly appears as if that's where the boys are headed. Whether it's to Baltimore or Houston or New York or who knows, maybe it's at Kauffman Stadium. Either way, it's a 3-game series. You don't need more than 3 starting pitchers. So your 3 are going to be Cole, Lugo, and Waka, you would have to believe. But I want Brady Singer on the team. I want Alec Marsh and Michael Lorenzen on the team. So yeah, Lucas Erceg's my top option as far as a right-hander is concerned. But after Lucas Erceg, I think it's going to be between Marsh, Lorenzen, and Singer. Who am I going to? Who am I going to in that big spot in the 6th or 7th inning? Now, if Lugo's tiring, where am I going? I think it might be one of those guys. So I don't think you're off base. I don't think you're crazy for that, Alyssa. Now, next season, I think that's crazy to think that Brady Singer for a season is a reliever. I mean, if you feel that way, you should trade him this offseason. Appreciate the phone call. 913-586-7965. Royals fall in 11 innings, dropping the finale to the Yankees. Final score, Yankees 4, Royals 3. Let's go to Tim in Clay County. Tim, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, what's going on? I do agree with that last phone call. I think Brady should be in the bullpen, and he will be. He'll be following Waka game 3 somewhere. I have a question about not loading the bases there. You said going after Carlos Stanton. I think we should. Bubic is not a strikeout pitcher, so whoever he's lefty-lefty, I don't really care. He's not going to strike that guy out. At least I don't think so. So load the bases. Give yourself a better chance with the double play. I think we messed that up. And I got a question about a rule. Remember the play where Salvi tried to tag the batter runner through home? I'm wondering.
Yeah, he got him.
I'm wondering if the base runner is out of is that a dead ball situation or do we continue play?
If they call him out of the base paths, it's just immediately out and the play continues. Oh. Yeah, the umpires call him out. And then he could still make that throw.
You're at the mercy of the umpire to make the call. You have to continue to play as a player. Okay.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Just checking. Man, there is one more thing I wanted to hit on, but I don't even remember what it was. I was pretty psyched up. I do. I do think the Royals did a great job in the Riptide. I'll take the 9 wins. Let's go Royals. And Vern, I love you, man.
Hey, I love you too, Tim. Appreciate it. Okay, so you wanted them to intentionally walk Jazz Chisholm, load the bases, and bank on a double play off of the bat of Giancarlo Stanton, a shallow fly ball where MJ could have doubled up Birdie at home on a sack fly, or a hard ground ball right at Bobby, and he throws a bullet home to Freddie to get Birdie at the dish. Yeah, possibly. Yeah, maybe it would have worked. I think, Jazz Chisholm does strike out a lot. Already punched out in his most recent at-bat prior to that one in the 11th. Punched out twice in last night's game as well. And, Bubich actually is. Out of the bullpen, he has been a strikeout pitcher. Coming into tonight, Bubich had 29 strikeouts in 22 innings of work. So now he has 29 innings in 29 strikeouts now in 23 innings of work. So that's a respectable strikeout number. But hey, hindsight being 2020, yeah, sure, could have gone a different way. And maybe things would have ultimately gone a different way. But instead, they go the Yankees way. Yankees grab the finale. Royals take Thursday off. They open up a weekend set in Pittsburgh Friday night, 5:40 for the first pitch. Let's go back to the phone calls. Jim in Leawood, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm looking forward to the postseason. I think the Achilles heel, our bullpen, will be much different when we push Brady Singer, Alec Marsh, and hopefully we get Hunter Harvey back and Lorenzen in there. We'll be a really tough out. But the real reason for my call is I haven't heard anything about Kyle Wright. I'm wondering what his status is. I know we're talking about next year for him, but it's a 22-game winner, and I'm just curious if you know how he's coming along post-surgery.
Yeah, I mean, he's thrown bullpens, right? He's been with the team. He's with the team right now as they make this road trip. He's certainly going to be a guy that they expect to, compete for a spot on opening day next year. And with Michael Wacha, I have to think Wacha's going to test the free agent waters this offseason. That's going to create a hole in this rotation. And, Bubich and Wright, to me, throw Alec Marsh into the mix. Those three battle it out for the final two spots next spring.
So the surgery seems to have been successful.
Yeah, but, opening day is a long ways away. Elbow and tendons and shoulders and all that are fickle. So, it's a long way to go before he's doing what we're watching Chris Bubich do right now, and that is return with a bang.
Okay, good deal. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Nice hearing from you, Jim. 913-586-7965. Royals fall in extra innings. They're 2-4 this season in extra innings. Let's go back to the calls, and we go to Dexter in Liberty. Dexter, you're next up on 96.5. We lost Dexter. Darn it. Dexter, I apologize, man. How about JD in Parkville? JD, you hanging on?
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, good. What's going on, buddy?
Second time caller, Vern.
Good to have you. What do you think?
I'm mad.
Uh-oh.
I'm upset. I came into this series saying we need to win one game.
Okay.
We got to win one game.
One freaking game.
One game in this series.
Right.
And then I watched tonight, and I was just, I'm upset, but I looked back, and you used to say it's a roller coaster, man. You got to stay on the ride. You got to strap in and keep it rolling. And I'm going to tell you something, Vern. I'm the same guy. I listened to you at the beginning of the season, and all my friends, man, they got a lot of stuff going on. And I say the Royals are hot. You guys got to start watching. Because every season at the beginning of the year, I listen to you. and I see what's going on, but I don't stay with it if they're really bad. But I'm going to tell you, man, I always listen to you at the beginning, and I get people on board real quick when stuff's going on. Yeah. And I listen off the air, man. I love you. We love you, Vern.
I appreciate that. Hey, I love you too, man. Thank you very much.
I listen off the air.
All right. Well, I hope so. Glad we still have you here on the 11th of September, 147 games into this thing. You got nowhere else to go now. We only have 15 games to play, and then a 3-game wild card series somewhere in this beautiful country. Baltimore, New York, Houston, Kansas City, wherever it may be. You're going to walk into that ballpark. If you're a Royal player, fan, executive, you're going to walk in with your chest sticking out. Because on the mound that day is going to be Seth Lugo, who's top 5 in baseball in ERA. Or it's going to be Cole Reagans, who tonight punched out 7 batters, giving him 211 strikeouts for the season. That's second most in Major League Baseball and the 3rd highest single season total in Royals franchise history. And if it's not him, well, you have a former NLCS MVP in Michael Wacha, a guy that can stake claim to the title of one of the 5 best American League pitchers over the past 4 months. So, yeah, you're going to walk into that series, which is now is going to start up in less than 3 weeks from now. You're going to walk in with your chest sticking out. Now, Bobby Witt Jr., 1-for-5 tonight. His batting average falls to .333. That's still the best in baseball. His OPS falls to .981. That's still top 5 in baseball. Only Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and Shohei Ohtani have a higher OPS than Bobby Witt Jr. Our Wit Watch, our nightly Wit Watch, is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Visit communityamerica.com to join. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7965, and we'll get back to your phone calls and head inside that Royals clubhouse after this.
You're listening to Vern's postgame show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass, to his feet, throw to first. Oh, he got him! What a play! Bobby Witt Jr.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's postgame show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
And a pitch, and a swing, and a ball well hit. Deep right field, that ball is gone. Off the facing of the second deck, a home run by Michael Massey. That's his 13th of the year, his 40th RBI, and the Royals take a 1-0 lead here in the Bronx.
And that 1-0 lead, courtesy of Michael Massey in the 4th inning, that 1-0 lead would last until the 6th. Cole Reagans, along with the right arm of Tommy Pham and the beautiful tag by Bobby Witt Jr., would make sure that that 1-0 lead would hold up until the 6th inning. Cole Reagans, with 1 out and nobody on, he walks Gleyber Torres. And then Juan Soto steps to the dish. Soto falls behind in the count 1-2. And in doing so, he fouls a Reagan's offering, fouls it off of his shin, off his ankle shin area, and is in a heap of pain. When he finally collects himself, he steps back up, fouls off another Reagan's offering, and then on the 6th pitch of the at-bat, Reagan's makes a mistake. You know, he wanted the breaking ball low and away, and instead, he left it over the plate, not on the outside part of the plate. I mean, you know, middle in to Juan Soto. A hanger to Juan Soto. Yeah, you're going to pay for that 90% of the time, and Reagans did. Home run number 39 on the season for the All-Star Juan Soto. That put the Yankees up 2-1, but it was a short-lived lead because right away, Very next half inning, the Royals tie it up as Kyle Isbell and Tommy Pham, they each rip Clay Holmes' sinkers that are left in the middle of the dish. Isbell pulls his to right, Pham to left. It's 2-1 with nobody out. Salvador Perez comes through with the sacrifice fly after Bobby Witt Jr. lines one to the opposite field, allowing Kyle Isbell to tag up, move up to third. And that's when Salvi drives in his 101st RBI on the season. Ties things up at two. Would remain tied until extras. Each team would score one in the 10th. Royals would not score in the 11th, and sadly the Yankees would, and they walk off the Royals in 11, 4-3, the final score. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Let's go to Brendan in Sweet Springs. Brendan, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Vern, I appreciate y'all. I just found you a couple years ago. Now,
hey, good to have you.
I don't get to see too much on the TV. Most of the time, we're on the back of a lawnmower or a tractor cutting something. So I gotta deal with what Denny tells me is going on. But tonight, with them, the intentional walk in the late innings, mm-hmm. I get that, and I'm glad that they didn't try for another intentional walk, because I think that could have led to a whole lot more damage. Now, the boys are doing good this year, and you've been on them since the beginning. And I do appreciate that, because got two buddies around here, and we've been saying that they're going to be – we was hoping for 100 wins, but, well, we're going to fall a little short of that. But they're still a playoff team.
No doubt, no doubt. Brendan, appreciate the phone call. With tonight's loss, the Royals are on pace for 88 wins. And again, they maintain a 4.5-game cushion, protecting that playoff spot, that playoff invitation. A 4.5-game cushion protects it. Let's head back out to Overland Park, talk with Connor. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Connor, go ahead.
Hey, Vern, when the Yankees walked us off, I was just beside myself. I do not like the New York Yankees like anybody in Kansas City does.
Yeah, Connor, I appreciate the phone call. No, I can't imagine. Of course, if you remember the 70s or 80s, you hate the New York Yankees with every ounce of your being. If you're my generation, right, you just missed out, right, just a little too young to truly remember 85. You still hate the Yankees because they were the evil empire, right? Three straight World Series, just complete and utter domination of the late 90s and early aughts. You know, this new wave of Royals fans that I've heard from this season, right? The ones that are, oh, Vern, I was 10 years old when we won it back in 2014. I don't really understand that generation hating the Yankees. Because if you barely remember the Royals being good, well, then you don't remember the Yankees being the evil empire. And Yankees haven't won a title in 15 years. Now, I'm with you. I hate the New York Yankees every day of the year outside of one day, and I think today's the day, right? September 11th. I don't know if you heard Joe Torre's story that I shared with you earlier today, but you know, September 11th, I think, and the tragedy, the horrific events that happened 23 years ago, I think we were all Yankees fans for the rest of that 0-1 season. And, of course, we all remember how that 0-1 season finished. Game 7, one of the greatest World Series of all time, as Luis Gonzalez and the Diamondbacks walk off the Pinstripers in Game 7. Man, that was awesome, right? All right, let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. Yankees maintained their first place mantle in the American League East, maintaining that lead over the Baltimore Orioles, which means right now the Baltimore Orioles are the foe for the Royals. 3 weeks from today, a 3-game series in Camden would begin October 1st. Let's go to Raj in the Ozarks. Raj, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, I'm kind of surprised you're not more fired up after that loss, but I've kind of flipped the switch. I'm not really into stats right now. I'm into winning. I'm into learning how to win in these close games, and that kind of bothers me a little bit. One thing down here in the Ozarks,
Hang on, what bothers you, though?
Go ahead.
Like, what about today's game?
I'm going to tell you flat out what bothered me, and that'll change my path here. Three men on in the first inning, one out, and we didn't do the job. And we only ended up with three runs for the whole game.
And you knew that was gonna, right? I mean, I mentioned that in the open, Roger.
You knew it as well as I knew it.
Yeah.
But one thing about nature down here, all the predators, and it doesn't matter what it is, whether it be a big fish in the lake, or a hawk, or a red fox, they're predators for a reason. When they catch something, they don't just eat it. They play with it and toy with it and almost have a swagger to them before they consume it. And right now I think we're just like the show horse at the rodeo, the champion barrel horse or something like that. I think we need to flip the switch and be a predator. Vern, it's just like your riptide thing. You know what's waiting out there in the middle of the ocean where that riptide washes out? A bunch of creatures waiting to eat whatever's washed out there. And I'll just leave it at that because I'm getting fired up over that. I think we need to really flip that switch.
Yeah, but I think that's who they've been. I think they have been a team that when the opportunity presents itself, they take it. Right? What happened tonight in the first inning,
Brady's
going 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position? That's the aberration, right? The numbers and the season tells you that normally when you open the door for this team, they kick that door down. They take advantage of your defensive miscues. They take that extra 90
feet. I wish they'd kick it down. There, you said it. I wish they'd kick it down. And I think it's time. I think it's time to start winning instead of stats. I don't know why.
I think they are that team. I'm sorry. I think they are that team, Raj. I appreciate the phone call. I think this season – they have been predators, right? They're 80-67, still within striking distance of the Yankees, of the best record in the American League. Because if they weren't what you're describing, that would lead me to believe that the Royals just dominate their opponents when they win. You know what I mean? Like they just mop the floor with them and haven't found themselves in grimy, dirty battles. And yet they have, right? How many times have we seen this team back up against the wall? We're about to get swept. And they fight and they salvage one in the series. Now, okay, yeah, I know you want wins and you want series victories, but you get to 13 games above 500. You get to where this team's arrived by not getting swept, right? Bobby arrives at a .333 batting average by making sure that 0-for-4 doesn't turn into an 0-for-5. It's a 1-for-5 day for Bobby Witt Jr. You know, the Royals are what, 16-17 this season in one-run games. 37 come-from-behind victories. That's top five in Major League Baseball. What I just watched them do to the Minnesota Twins, when the Twins gave them an inch, they pounced. They took the victory. Right, the Bailey Ober game, to me, was the perfect example of that. Back on Saturday, right? Bailey Ober just dominating the Royals through seven innings. Rocco Baldelli lifts him, and the Royals pounce. They pounce on a error. They pounce on that free base. They take that extra 90 feet. Sure, that's how they're going to win in October. But do it in October. You know, I'll reiterate what I said earlier today on the On Deck Show. Guys, for as much as I'm enjoying this home stretch, for as entertaining as this game was tonight, outside of maintaining your health and trying to, find and maintain confidence, I'm sorry, I have a tough time reading into much that's happening between the white lines. other than health and confidence, I'm having a tough time reading into much. Because in 3 weeks, it all goes away. All the statistics, all the wins, all the losses, all the big hits, it all goes away. MJ's good season, bad season, good month, bad month, mass. Take your pick. It all goes away. Bobby Witt Jr.'s great season can be forgotten. Like, does anyone talk about how great Mike Trout was in 2014? You know, you think about him getting worked over in the playoffs. So, yeah, listen, if the Royals are going to win that wild card series, if they're going to make a run, they're going to need to, yeah, play like a predator and capitalize on mistakes. But the Yankees, you could say the same thing about them, right? Every team that makes the playoffs must capitalize on mistakes because there is not a juggernaut this season. There isn't a powerful team where you say we're all gunning for them. At least I don't see them. Raj, always nice hearing from you, man. Always appreciate the discussion. Always appreciate your perspective as well. 913-586-7965 is the phone number. Let's go to Jim in Salina. Jim, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Just a couple things from the ball game tonight and a couple things looking to the future. You were talking about the Riptide all the last couple weeks, but
yeah.
Out of that Riptide, which team wants to face our Royals? I don't think the Yankees want to, even though they took two out of three. They right. didn't get a lot of hits. Houston is a team I don't want to face with the pitching they have. I don't think the Yankees have it. The Guardians don't want to face us because we've been beating them all year, kind of splitting here and there. But the one thing I want to talk about is MJ Melendez. Could he not do a better impression of Barry Bonds out in left tonight? What was that? I mean, the guy can't hit. He'll run into one every now and then. But that was just the whole night tonight. You knew he wasn't going to get a hit. And he's playing in the shortest right field porch in the American League. And his feet are like Ichiro. Come on, dude. Stand in the box and swing the bat. Be balanced and get a hit. But I'm excited for the postseason. I think I want to play the Yankees moving forward in the wild card game. So, Vern, just your opinion on that. And great show. Always listen. Appreciate it.
Yeah, nice to hear from you. Personally, if I could choose between Baltimore, Houston, and New York, I want Baltimore. I just think the Royals have better pitching. Corbin Burns is a stud, no doubt. But that's the only stud I see in Baltimore. I have respect for Zach Eflin, but I'll put Brady Singer up against Zach Eflin. I think Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, and Cole Reagans are better than Zach Eflin. Now, New York, Garrett Cole's a boss. You know, Marcus Stroman's a big-game pitcher. Carlos Rodon, you know he has big-time stuff. Certainly, to me, he's a better pitcher than Zach Eflin, or at least in a big moment, I'd rather have a Carlos Rodon than Zach Eflin. So, yeah, I'm not interested in Houston, obviously. And that team's so loaded with pitching, Justin Verlander might not even be on their playoff roster. And then New York, thanks but no thanks. But I would take Baltimore. As far as MJ Melendez is concerned, MJ is 0 for his last 8, 0 for his last 10 with 3 walks. A rough stretch for MJ. But you go back to the beginning of August, his OPS is just shy of 800. Since August 1st, MJ Melendez has an OPS of 794. League average OPS is about 700, 704. So MJ's still well above average. Now, did you ever think MJ Melendez was a cleanup hitter? At any point this season, did you say, you know who should be our cleanup hitter? MJ Melendez. No. Of course not. And that's where he's been the past two nights. And again, this is something that I talked about earlier today with Cody and Gold. Cody brought up the point of man, did we overreact when Vinny Pasquantino was lost? Because obviously the team didn't go in the toilet. The offense has remained competent without Vinny Pasquantino. So did we overreact? And I said, no, not at all. And I think you'll see come October the absence of Vinny Pasquantino. You know, MJ Melendez hitting in the cleanup spot, I'm not saying I had an issue with it because, again, these final 15 games are about two things, health and confidence. And, man, I would love a confident MJ Melendez walking into October. But if you're this disappointed in him, Jim, well, you need a lefty bat, right? Someone needs to pick it up from the left-handed batter's box. You don't have Vinny. I heard what you just said about MJ. Shout out Michael Massey, who tonight runs into his 13th home run of the season. But Massey's numbers are not as good as MJ's of late. Since the start of August, MJ, OPS, 794. Massey's OPS, 769. Someone needs to get going in that lineup. Yeah, Tommy Pham's doing his thing, no doubt about it. But Tommy, Bobby, and Salvi, you know, going up against Gunner, Adley, Santander, and the rest of those monsters in the Baltimore lineup, going up against Yordan and Kyle Tucker and Bregman and Altuve, going up against Judge and Soto, Jazz and Wells. No, man, you need someone else. So I understand you're disappointed in his 0-for tonight, but you need MJ. You need someone to step up. All right, do we still have Robbie? You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Robbie, go ahead.
Hi, Vern. Second-time caller. I called you probably in late May, early June, asking about Alex Marsh moving to the bullpen for the playoffs. And I wanted to follow up with that a little bit, but also just wanted to express how impressed I was with the Royals' complete pitching, bullpen, and overall lineup through the series with the Yankees, with the playoff implications and playoff atmosphere. Two-part question. What do you feel needs to change with the lineup going in to the playoffs?
What do you mean change?
Well, what you saw over the past three games in a playoff atmosphere regarding the lineup?
I think it's been a playoff atmosphere for about 2.5 weeks now. I don't think New York – now, sure, more people, but the playoff atmosphere has been pretty constant for the past few weeks.
Well, as far as the fans in attendance and you know, aggressive atmosphere.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate the phone call, Robbie. Again, guys, you know, the series in New York, once this team picked up that eighth win in this riptide, I put my feet up. It's house money from here on out. What do I think of the offense? Yeah, they miss Vinny Pasquantino. Yeah. But Bobby's a stud. Salvi's a stud. Tommy Pham only hits bullets. This was never a team led by its offense, right? This has always been a team led by its starting pitching, its defense, and its base running. That's who they've been over the course of the first 147 games. I have no reason to believe they're going to be anything different moving forward. Now, if there was a hallmark of this offense, it was and is hitting with runners in scoring position. Nobody did that better than Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny. So when you lose Vinny, yeah, that's going to create a hole. And honestly, I think the onus is on the coaching staff to play the numbers, play the odds, play the matchups, find the right lineups. And that's, of course, a combination of not only the coaching staff, but also the analytics department. But I mean, listen, there's nobody in this lineup outside of Tommy, Bobby, and Salvi, your top three hitters. There's nobody else in this lineup where I say, okay, fill in the blank, you need to carry the freight. You know, DeJong and Grossman and Gurriel, Ren, you know, ideally MJ, Massey, Renfro, Freddie. Those are the guys that I would like to step up and come through in a big way down the stretch. But I'll take it from just about anyone in this lineup. So as you look towards October, as you get ready for Friday and the series coming up against Pittsburgh, you know, the lineup has been in flux all season, right? Outside of the big three, the only names that you knew were going to be in the lineup on a daily basis were Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi. Not much has changed, other than Tommy has replaced Vinny. Other than those three, everything else is up for discussion. Everything else is predicated on the matchup, the pitcher, the team, the series. So I don't know what I'm expecting to change with this offense. The only thing I want to see, aggressive base running, and fundamentally sound execution at the dish. Right, get the bunt down, advance the base runner, do the little things. Because when you're built on starting pitching, defense, and base running, the offense must come through with the fundamentals because you're cutting it so close. It's a razor-thin margin for error for a team like this. Royals fall in 11 innings, 4-3 the final score. We'll get back to your thoughts and head inside that Royals clubhouse after this.
You're listening to Vern's postgame show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass to his feet, throw to first. Oh!
Your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's postgame show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Verdugo lines it toward right field. Fan sprints to his left. It's over his head and one off the fence. Fan gets the carom, fires to second. Verdugo sprints, ball in a bounce. Wins tag in time. They got him. Tommy Pham with a cannon from right field. He played the ricochet perfectly. And a one-hop strike to Bobby Witt Jr. to nab Alex Verdugo. That was defensive poetry.
Baby. Jake Eisenberg on the call. What a call. Great call, Jake. Yeah, you heard it right here on 96.5 The Fan. A big-time play, big-time tag by Bobby Witt Jr. That was a beaut. Put that thing right on Verdugo for the first out of the fifth inning as the Royals at that time hanging on to a 1-0 lead. The 1-0 lead would eventually evaporate as Juan Soto hit a two-run shot off of Cole Reagans in the sixth. But the Royals got that run right back. Sac fly from Salvi in the top of the seventh ties things up at two. We go to extras. Each team scores one in the 10th, but only New York was able to push a run across in the 11th. And they walk it off, taking the series finale and handing the Royals a series loss. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Tommy Pham, not only did he make a great throw there in the fifth inning, but he had a three-hit night, his first three-hit night since joining the Royals. Pham tonight made his 10th start in Kansas City Blue. He's reached base safely. Let me say, he's hit safely in 7 of his 10 starts so far. Tommy Pham as a Royal is hitting .317 with an OPS of .875. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know when called Jay's Southland Tow. Taking a look at the text line, 913-586-7965. Spike in St. Joe's disappointed in MJ Melendez and that throw home in the 10th. Yeah, and I'm guessing that's what the previous caller was talking about. The sacrifice fly off of the bat of Austin Wells. MJ's throw was on target, but it bounced about 5 times before it got to Freddie at the dish. MJ's arm is plenty strong. I don't think that's been an issue all season. But listen, I don't understand what's. Well, Spike, I know you. I know what you've been watching. You've been watching the Royals, man, for 147 games. MJ Melendez has been an above-average left fielder for a 25-year-old in his first full season at the position. Now, again, 147 games in, I just don't know what you're expecting from MJ. You expected an Alex Gordon perfect throw? Now, yes, I wanted to see that. I wish he would have uncorked one of those bad boys like he has at times this season. But, yeah, I just, with 15 games to play, guys, I'm not going to lament the fact that this isn't a perfect team. It hasn't been all season. It's not the best of the 12 postseason teams. But for God's sakes, it's a postseason team. MJ has been a net positive this season for as much as you guys want to turn your back on him. He's been a net positive. Sean in Waldo's listening. He says, heck of an effort tonight by Cole Reagans, and I love Dairon Blanco's aggressiveness on the base paths. Yeah, how about Dairon Blanco in the 10th? He's the automatic base runner on second. He steals third, scores on a wild pitch, didn't need anybody to do anything. Guys are struggling with runners in scoring position tonight. Let me do it myself. Dairon Blanco stealing his 29th base of the season. Those 29 bags are good for top 15 in Major League Baseball. Sean, appreciate you listening, buddy. Let's go back to the phone calls. We go to Noah in Lee Summit. Noah, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, man, I more or less just want your opinion on this. I feel like people are doing what, you know, they've started to do best, just overreacting to a loss. I think 2.5 weeks ago after Vinny got hurt and we went on that 7-game slide, if you would have told me we took one, just one, in a series against the best team in the conference, I would have called you crazy because of how horrible this team looked. I mean, everything seemed like it was misfiring. And then not only did we take one, we went to extra innings against them and almost took another game.
Yeah. No, you got it figured out. No, I'm with you. Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Yeah. No, you got the right perspective.
We do this best. You know, we overreact every time there's any kind of loss. You know, is this person outdated, even with the Chiefs? But, I mean, with the Royals, it's just MJ Melendez, like you said, he's been an above-average hitter. Tommy Pham is doing his thing. Seth Lugo looks like his arm is back. And, I mean, we've finally got Michael Walker to, I think, where we want him in the rotation. And I just think it's another overreaction. People also seem to forget, like, we played a New York team in their own stadium on the 9/11 anniversary at that. So this game always means a little more to New York teams on the 9/11 anniversary.
I agree. Yeah, no doubt, Noah. I think you're making great points. I appreciate the phone call. Hope to hear from you more often down the stretch, man. I'm going to need you. I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. 913-586-7965. Now, it's understandable. I mean, even in 2015, fans were freaking out in September. I was here. I was hosting this very show 9 years ago. Even though the Royals had run away with the division title, they were scuffling in the middle of September and people were panicked. But to me, that is just reflective of a football country. The NFL is king. Football is king. And football has taught everyone that every game is so very important. Now, I want to say that Kansas City isn't unique in their overreaction following a loss on the diamond. You know, I think a lot of baseball fans in September tend to let their anxiety get the best of them. But Yeah, I do think Kansas City has a special knack for overreacting. And I only say that because you have Patrick Mahomes. And I hear you guys, well, maybe not right now, but last year, when you guys were freaking out about who's Mahomes going to throw to, where's our wide receivers? The year before that, worried about the defense. Man, you guys sounded silly. Like you forgot you had Andy and Patrick and Travis and Chris Jones and Brett Veach. What are you worried about? And wake me up when it's December. Now, baseball, okay, I can understand it somewhat because you do have football mentalities, and in Kansas City, you haven't won a darn thing in a decade. So I understand where it comes from. But you guys do need to stop worrying. If you are, stop worrying about the Chiefs. As long as 15 suiting up, you're good. Text line's there for you, 913-586-7965. And to be honest with you, this was my message throughout April and May. Well, maybe not April, but it became abundantly clear in May that the baseball equivalent of having a Patrick Mahomes, where you say, man, don't worry about it. As long as that dude's there, you're good. The baseball equivalent of having that is what the Royals have. An elite rotation, an elite defense, and elite base running. You have those three things? Those things show up on a nightly basis? Man, don't worry about anything. Because you're going to be in the game in the sixth and seventh innings, and it's going to come down to who blinks first. And to be honest with you, 3 weeks from tonight, when the Royals are playing that wild card game in Baltimore, Houston, New York, it's probably going to come down to the sixth, seventh, eighth innings and who blinks first. I'll ride with the Royals. Yeah, I'll ride with Reagans and Waka. I'll ride with Lugo and Urseg, Bobby and Salvi. That those guys will not be the ones to blink. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. Let's go to Dan and KCK. Dan, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead. Hey, Dan, we got you.
Yeah, hey, Josh, how you doing? Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, it was a great game, even though the Royals didn't win. Yeah, but still, it was a good gauntlet, you know, 9-10 wins ain't bad, you know. I was at game 4 in the 1977 playoffs when, Sparky Lyle came in the fifth inning when Billy Martin, you know, I thought the Royals would come back and win, but let's take care of business with the Pirates. Take care of yourself, Josh.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to see who the Royals are going to roll out there in that three-game series that starts up on Friday. I mean, the proper assumption would be is you roll out Marsh on Friday, Waka on Saturday, Brady Singer on Sunday, but who knows? 15 to go. Let's see what the Royals do. Let's see where Michael Lorenzen is. This is a guy that could join the bullpen as early as this weekend series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Nice to hear from you, Dan. Bobby Witt Jr. tonight, 1-for-5. He had that one-out double in the first inning. Followed by a walk to Salvi, a walk to MJ Melendez, bases loaded with only one out, and the Royals do not capitalize. And you knew that was going to come back to bite them, and it ultimately did as you fall by one run in extra innings. But that double by Bobby Witt Jr. was his 83rd extra base hit of the season. That's second most in Major League Baseball. Two off the Major League lead. Currently held by Aaron Judge. But Bobby's 83 extra base hits are also the third highest single season total in franchise history. And he has 15 games still yet to play. Kid's amazing. Let's go to Stewart in Gladstone. Stewart, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, I love your stats. They're so awesome. I love how every year they just get more in depth. But what I want to say was, you know what, New York, we were playing tonight, that whole fan base and that whole city was on the edge of their seats the whole game. And I think we did good. So I'm going to give credit to the guys in blue for rocking and rolling. I think they did great. You know, Urcic didn't, you know, it wasn't his fault. He tried so hard to catch that ball, you know.
But talk about that, Bubic. Yeah, Bubic.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, Bubic.
Urcic put up zeros.
Dude, he killed it too. Yeah. But for the second base role, you know, I think they did pretty awesome, man. And I'm pretty sure New York is, like, when we get to postseason, they're going to be on their toes, man. Because they're going to be like, who are these rules, man?
Well, here's the thing. I appreciate the phone call. Here's the thing about the playoffs, guys. Again, we're past that. If you get to the playoffs, and we've learned this now because of the Diamondbacks and the Phillies the past few seasons, if you get there, you immediately have your opposition's respect. If you don't, that team's going to be 1-2-3 Cancun very quickly. No, we're done with the litmus tests. We're done with the tests. The next test is the postseason. Nice hearing from you. Hey, I'll talk to you guys coming up on Friday, 4:30 for the On Deck Show. I want to thank Blake Schneiders for the help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening, the text, the calls, all of it. It was fun. Royals fall in 11. Enjoy the off day. I'll talk to you Friday. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's Postgame Show.
Pasquantino smacks it deep to right field. His second home run of the game.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 96.5thefan.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.